Good Thursday. Today is March the 20th, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, I had a chance to catch up with Terry Mesher. He is the manager of the H2 Ohio program for the Ohio Department of Agriculture. We took a look at H2 Ohio from when it started to where it's at now and some of the goals moving forward. We'll have the details after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
Well, I'm joined today by Terry Mesher. Terry is the H2 Ohio Program Manager with the Ohio Department of Agriculture. Terry, let's talk about H2 Ohio and maybe sort of an update as the program is rolling out across more counties in the state of Ohio.
Well, good afternoon, Dusty. This past year, we expanded the H2 Ohio program across the rest of the state. Looking at what our targets were and trying to get everything done, we had a budget for about 500,000 acres statewide. We opened it up for nutrient management planning and implementation specifically across the rest of the state for a couple different reasons, but primarily it was to try to build capacity for nutrient management, a little bit more experience in the nutrient management realm with our soil and water districts as we started the program out. So
that makes sense. And as you've had a chance, have you seen some good maybe cross-sharing of information or best practices within the soil and water offices of those original 14 or 18 counties being able then to maybe pass on some tricks of the trade to the other counties?
Yeah, we kind of took that opportunity when we're leading up to the statewide expansion, allowing districts that were interested to go in and into the original 14 counties in the Maumee County to try to help them sign up, get familiar with the software, get familiar with the program standards and so forth. And then since we've opened it up and have this enrollment and the nutrient management plan development going statewide, we have had several counties working back and forth. We've got a WLEB county giving some advice and some guidance on how to look at this and some of those sort of things. And it's really been great to have some of that interplay between the district technicians that really has bolstered some of our ODA workforce that we have out there helping the districts do this.
Sure, that makes a lot of sense. Well, I know for our personal operation, as we enrolled in H2 Ohio and have gone through the different iterations of it, a lot of education goes along with that too, and a lot of actually relationship building with the staff at the Soil and Water Office as we look at the program and ways to, what practices are going to fit best and maybe really understanding the voluntary nutrient management plan and all other things. Does that seem to be common across the state and across the program? Is that education, those interactions?
It definitely is, Dusty. And I think one of the things that with the push and the focus on Western Lake Erie Basin, when we started H2 Ohio 5 years ago now, we probably didn't recognize the educational component that goes along with it. And I think as we move the program forward, I think that educational component will probably start to rise to the top a little bit more and probably have a larger presence in what we do with H2 Ohio, not only with the individual producer, but looking at what we're doing with CAP, the Cancer Conservation Action Project, and trying to illustrate and looking at phosphorus applications and the economic return to that, that whole effort that we're doing there is primarily education, just trying to get more understanding, more knowledge out there. And really, from my perspective personally, when we look at nutrient management and we look at the producer and making those decisions, as they talk with their consultants, as they talk with their advisors, really positioning the producer to say, why do I need this phosphorus? Why do I need this product? Where is it going to gain for me? What am I going to get back for it? If we can encourage more of those conversations, I think we've gone a long way to our overall goals with H2 Ohio.
Maybe talk a little bit about that too, the capacity building that goes on with bringing in crop advisors, bringing in some of the retailers that have to help as these management plans have gone on. How has the buy-in been in that end of the industry?
I think in general, buy-in's been very good, but certainly, we've talked about it in the hallways here, as every time we do something new, there's a lot to be learned. And, from our perspective, ODA, myself, my staff, Soil and Water District staff, we've certainly learned a lot about what goes on within the industry and what some of the important key things there are. As well, I think the industry has learned a lot more about where we're trying to get nutrient management, and we're not trying to work against them. We're trying to make sure that, as we move this forward, that we've got a sustainable system and that we're improving water quality.
Good answer. Again, my guest today is Terry Mesher. Terry is the program director for the H2 Ohio program with the Ohio Department of Agriculture. Terry, thanks so much for the update and for your time today.
Thank you, Dusty.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Taking a look at your agricultural headlines, for the fourth time in the past decade, the Environmental Protection Agency will write a new rule for the regulating waters of the United States, one that the EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin said will closely align with the Supreme Court decision and alleviate regulatory risks for farmers. Now, Zeldin, back on Wednesday, announced the latest attempt to write a new Waters of the United States, or WOTUS, rule and make sure we are, quote, fixing WOTUS once and for all, Zeldin said. The new rule will more closely align with the Supreme Court ruling on Sackett versus the EPA that significantly narrows the definition of WOTUS. The Sackett decision limited EPA and the Army Corps of Engineers to regulating only wetlands and waterways with a continuous surface water connection to a larger body of water. Now, the EPA and the Corps on Wednesday announced a joint memorandum to field staff about implementation of, quote, continuous surface connection in according with the Sackett. Zeldin also noted the EPA has gone back and forth in writing new WOTUS language since the Obama administration rule was released in 2015. We are not looking for this to be a ping pong anymore, Zeldin said. What we're looking for is simply following the guidance from Sackett. It gave us a clear path in determining what waters are for the waters of the United States. Still, the EPA notice in the Federal Register will outline a new public hearing and rulemaking process to define the meaning of key terms tied to Sackett to clarify how WOTUS will be interpreted going forward. That includes spelling out what the scope of, quote, relatively permanent means when it comes to tributaries, for instance. The agency will also seek to detail the scope of, quote, continuous surface connection and the scope of, quote, jurisdictional ditches. EPA plans to hold at least six listening sessions through the web or in person over the next 2 months, though the dates have not yet been set. Now, political, environmental, agricultural, and business groups have been fighting over how to define waters of the U.S. for two decades. Some parts of the country fell under the 2023 Biden rule, while other parts of the country were regulated by the pre-2015 rule for WOTUS, which adds to some of the confusion about the EPA and Corps of Engineers oversight. The first Trump administration rule, the Navigable Waters Protection Rule, drew praise from agriculture groups, but it was not finalized until June of 2020, replacing that 2015 Obama-era rule. Still, the Trump rule was vacated by a federal court in Arizona in 2021 after litigation brought by a tribe. Now, senators and House members who opposed the Obama and Biden efforts spoke at Zeldin's press event rolling out the new rulemaking process. Zippy Duvall, president of the American Farm Bureau Federation, credited the Trump administration for bringing clarity to the WOTUS. Duvall said WOTUS is among the biggest issues facing producers on a regulatory front. WOTUS has been a pain in the side of our farmers and ranchers, he said. The Biden administration rule was vague about the issues, such as defining, quote, relatively permanent. He said farmers need a one-page rule that will help define for them how WOTUS might affect their farms. Our farmers and ranchers for generations have worked hard to leave their farms and ranches in better shape than what they found it, and none of us would do anything to harm the environment or the waters or the air on the land that we live on. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.